Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to talk cars. And if you'd like to join us, it's easy, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Now, obviously, in the car repair business, two heads are better than one. So I got Dave Martin sitting here next to me, 16th Street south of Indian School. Actually, you and your father worked on Fred Flintstone's car, didn't you? And Barney Rubble's?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Your family's been there since?
Since 1971. Okay. We've been in that general area. We started at about a half a mile away from where we're at now. And we the old service station business, you know?
Okay.
And back then it was all full service. And we had a three-bay Chevron gas station and service station. And we evolved from there and got out of the gas business, I don't know, probably in 99, somewhere around that time. And
but you were Texaco, too.
We were Texaco, yep. We moved up to 16th in Missouri for a little bit, and we had a big Texaco up there with a car wash next door, and that got knocked down and turned into an office building. And then we moved to 16th Street in Clarendon, where we're at now, 3636 North 16th Street, just south of Indian School Road. And we've been there since probably 85, 86 is when we moved there. Yeah, and it's a great location, and you know we've been really blessed as far as being able to make a great business out of it.
Well, it's you're kind of bumper to bumper like a lot of us are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you can cover bumper to bumper stuff, and then you have people that you rely on for window tinting and car detailing and all that other kind of stuff. That's one of the things that we're offering now is while your car's here, when you make your appointment, let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll have our detailer stop by and try to pack him with three or four cars so that it makes his time worth it. So we're experimenting with that. It's something we're not paying for, but it's something that allows them to have it done when we're done with their car. So that has a lot to do with it. Phoenix Body Works is looking for an auto repair technician that has experience doing wheel alignments. As you can imagine, Dave, when you wreck a car, almost always it's to the front of the car.
Yep.
And somebody has to rebuild the front end, and then the alignment guy has to make it all point right in the right direction. So Greg's missing that. So if you have steering and suspension knowledge and experience, Greg's got really nice pay, performance incentives, family-owned operation, and your skills and your knowledge will reward yourself as well as the whole shop. So if you're an alignment guy and you're thinking about moving, Phoenix Body Works is north of the 101, just east of the I-17. And Greg's a good guy. I've known him for a long time. Dave's sitting next to me. Oh, I don't know about that. But all right, 602-508-0960. You got a car question. I want to read you something.
Okay.
It says, this is a work order that the customer brought in for us because it's got some stuff on it that you need.
Okay.
So they say here, this is what they said I need. But here's on the work order. You shall not disparage, defame, or discredit any member or employee of auto repair or engage in any activity which have the effect of disparaging, defaming, and discrediting so-and-so auto repair or its members, managers, affiliates, officers, directors, employees, in any way.
Wow.
Yeah. I never seen that before.
I haven't either.
I think that has everything to do with reviews.
Yep.
But the problem is from a legal point of view, I ran this by a couple of my buddies that are attorneys, and he says, somebody wrote this up that had some legal background because they're using all the adjectives.
Yeah.
Disparage, defame, discredit. And then they talk about any activity which have the effect of disparaging, defaming, or discredit. Or its members, managers, affiliates, officers, directors, employees. I mean, that's going to be kind of hard to determine because it's a broad thing.
Right.
But if you tell the truth, typically the truth will stand on its own.
Right.
They wrecked my car. Here's a picture of before after.
Right.
Stuff like that. So I thought it was just unusual. It's a $208 bill, and actually, in reality, the bill's fair.
Yeah.
The bill's within what I believe to be industry standards. But it was check head gaskets at overheating, and he needs head gaskets, a thermostat, a gasket. And they did the thermostat and a gasket and a radiator cap. And then the work was requested was remove and replace the thermostat gasket, block tested, no bad head gasket. So there's some kind of a disconnect here because, yes, there's a head gasket, then no, there isn't a head gasket. So I don't know what happened. I know if the customer would not have blocked off the top, I could call them back.
Right.
And say, you know, what was the ultimate outcome? It's just interesting that that's there. And I'm not quite sure I would embarrass myself by giving that to my customers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really does set a tone that's kind of an unusual tone. You get bad reviews, so do I. You just deal with them.
Right.
There isn't anybody out there that's perfect unless they've got a really big family.
Right.
and that happens a lot.
Well, and the way I see it is being a business owner is one of the things that your job is obviously to solve some of these problems. And there's some things that, hey, when we make a mistake, we raise our hand and say, yeah, we screwed up.
Not everybody, but
I mean, it's just the way it is. And because we know we're human and we know we make mistakes. But sometimes it's just, sometimes some people's, values or some people's, you know, opinion doesn't align with yours or
expectations
don't align with yours. And then you end up having that conflict and it's, you know, sometimes you just have to part ways with certain people. You just have to say, you know, obviously we're not your shop and you need to move on to somebody else. Obviously there's a personality conflict or some sort of conflict that you can't overcome. So, but I mean, that's such a small, minute part of our business that it's not that big of a deal. But every now and then that does happen.
Yeah, and you're right. It's the way to really cause the relationship to come off on the wrong foot is walk up to the front counter and start talking bad about everybody that's ever had your car.
Yep.
And I told him to do this. Now, that's number one strike for me. You're telling him how to fix your car.
Right.
All right. I told him to line the car, and it still pulled afterwards. You should have told him to fix the pull.
Yeah.
That's what you should have told him. But that, again, for us, it's once a year, and it's in a nice way. One of the things that we might do to gently persuade the customer to go somewhere else is hit him between the eyes in a
metaphorical way, yeah.
In a metaphor, with a huge price.
Yeah.
You know, an alignment's like $325. You gotta be crazy.
Yeah.
No, it's $325. I'm sorry. It's $325. So him or her's gonna leave and say, Salem's really expensive. I can live with that as opposed to Salem is one big giant a-hole.
Yeah, right.
And so sometimes that's a nice way to get rid of them, but that doesn't happen often for your shop or for mine. But that's the way to start off on the wrong foot, is disparage everybody who's worked on your car and nobody's been able to fix it, and I've told them numerous times how to fix it. We got to disconnect there.
Right, and one of the biggest things for me is that if you're going to come into my shop, you know, and every time you bring your car in, you're going to upset my people and turn my shop upside down, that's not going to work for me, because then what happens is your service writers are trying to be in a good frame of mind and handle a lot of customers, and you come in and you put them in that frame of mind, then the next customer comes in doesn't get the service that they deserve. Mm-hmm. And so that bothers me more than anything, because I look at the next customer coming through the door and I want to make sure that they get that level of service that we give. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to me to make sure that all my customers get that level of service. And if one person is going to turn my shop upside down, then they've got to go, because yeah. I can't deal with that.
Okay, so let's change subject, and we're going to talk about nitrogen in the tire. Do you do nitrogen in tires?
Nope, I don't do that.
Okay. How much nitrogen is in the palm of my hand right now?
I don't know.
79-80%.
Yeah.
And there's those machines out there that we buy so that we can put nitrogen in our customers' tires along with the green valve caps.
Yeah.
Those machines don't make much more than that.
Okay.
Okay, there's no such thing as a machine that makes 100. So there's a problem already with, why don't we tell them how much they already got in there? And it leaks slower than compressed air. Yeah. And they've got all this other stuff that's marketing. And those machines aren't cheap. And the whole idea is it's called an RCO. Do you know what that means? Reoccurring sales opportunity, RSO. Reoccurring sales. So I'm going to say to Ma Moses, you need to come in here every month and have us check your tires. Well, I'm going to open the hood, and I'm going to check a lot of things while you're there. So I get to have you come in under the pretext that I'm going to check your tires because I have nitrogen in them. And don't let anybody put air in them. Oh, yeah, let's not do that. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things. So anyway, here's a guy that writes me a note about that subject. clearly he knows a little bit more about nitrogen than I do, okay? Listen to your show. Just wanted to comment on nitrogen. The reason they use – oh, and then they also say NASCAR uses it. Big airplanes use it. Why can't you use it? Okay. They use nitrogen in aircraft tires as strictly convenience. Nitrogen is supplied in a high-pressure bottle, which is used to service hydraulic accumulators and other components of an airplane. Since the tires are often serviced above 2,000 PSI or 200 PSI, it's much easier to use nitrogen than rolling out a high-pack or a high-pressure air compressor. There's not too many of them out there that are going to pull 200 PSI.
Right.
So, and when he calls it big, he's talking big. He says, you're spot on. Nitrogen is the cheapest compressed gas available since it's waste from the gas fractioning process. So my thing is I don't like nitrogen. I'm not going to sell nitrogen. I'm not going to put green valve caps because I don't believe that that benefits my customers. It benefits me more than it benefits them.
When it first came out, I did a lot of research on it, and I felt the same way you do about it. I felt like it really wasn't worth the extra expense for the shop. Number one, and then number two, I didn't feel like it was that big of a benefit.
But they can sell it. You know, there's guys out there, and I don't begrudge them, but yeah. They can sell it.
Yeah,
and. Nitrogen is supposed to minimize the amount of moisture that's inside your tire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me ask you a tough question. So what does that moisture do? Who cares?
Yeah, who cares, really?
in reality.
A steel wheel, it might rust out a steel wheel, but that's about it.
And you have to ask your dad.
Yeah.
It would take long past our life
to accomplish that.
Yeah. And the second question is how many times have you guys put a set of tires on and you had to throw a wheel away because it's rusted on the inside?
It doesn't happen.
Right. Unless, of course, they use that bottled tire flat stuff.
Yeah.
And that'll eat paint off and everything else.
Yeah.
So there's the good and the bad of our industry. The very best part of our industry is my best car repair shop's list. You can find it at marksalem.com. It's by city. There's a transmission shop in there. There's a bunch of general repair shops in there. There's a couple paint and body shops in there. So these guys are the best of the best, and here's why. And here's why I can tell you that you should at least look at my list. It says on there, and it's signed by me, that if you have a problem, then I will investigate it on your behalf. And if there's a problem, the shop will have to give you, well, the shop and I will come to an agreement on what's fair for the shop to do. If the shop doesn't, two things happen. Kick the shop off the list, and up to $5,000, I'll pay the bill. So I've covered a transmission at $5,000. Haven't covered many engines, but I've covered a transmission. So my promise to you is if some neutral group like the Better Business Bureau says the shop didn't do good and the owner doesn't admit it and the owner won't pony up anything, then I'll kick the shop off and I'll pay up to $5,000. It's never happened. I've never had to do it, and I've been doing this since 1988. So it's a good thing. I've got a good list of people at the shop, and I know all of them by their first name, and I have their cell phone numbers. And in certain cases, I have their wife's cell phone number so I can snitch them off about their bad behavior, like yours. 602-508-0960. It's, let me see here, 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. Sitting next to me is Dave Martin from Martin's Auto, 16th Street and just south of Indian School. And we're going to take calls, and if you have a car question, or we're really good with disputes between husbands and wives.
Yeah.
You know, the wife
Speak
says left, and the guy says right, and so there's a dispute that goes over into dinner time and all that other kind of stuff, and then everybody's trying to get other people to be on their side and all that kind of stuff. We can handle those. We can handle those. Somebody else who can handle those kinds of things is Tom Blackwell up at Blackwell Automotive at 40th Street in Greenway. I've known him for more than 25 years. Him and I are cut from the same cloth. We're both a little bit ornery, but he's really good at what he does with respect to independent-owned, family operation, ASE-certified technicians. He does old cars, new cars, and he can do both of them really well. He's the only shop I can recommend in that northeast Scottsdale area. I'm sorry. I just can't. So I know he's really, really good, and I know up there is a lot of movement, And I have a real rule that you can't be, you can't have taken over the shop last month and you're going to be on my list this month. But Northeast Scottsdale, the best guy I know is Blackwell Automotive. Gil, did you have a call or did you zip my hair for headphones? Okay, then stop doing that. One of the things that's happened in the parts business is we're moving around a lot. Things yep. have been happening a lot. Yep. And, folks, there's big warehouses and different parts stores here in town that feed us parts. NAPA, CarQuest, AutoZone, O'Reilly's, Factory Motor Parts, which customers can't, our listeners can't buy from them because they're wholesale direct, so they only sell to guys like us. Parts Authority. Did I miss anybody?
No.
Those are the big dogs.
Right.
Everybody's going to do business. I left one of them in the last 3 or 4 months because they turned out to pasture three guys that I have 88 years of experience with. Don, I've known him since when I was in high school in 1968. I used to go to a Christmas party where Don and his family made Mexican food for everybody, and I enjoyed that immensely. Then you got Tom. Tom's been around. He started at Big A, and you know how long ago that was because they're not even around anymore. And then I've got John. So, ironically, Tom, Don, and John
yep.
are the three guys. And they're gone. So I have no relationship with them anymore. I have no allegiance to them anymore. I'm not mad at them, but it's time for me to go dance with someone else to see if I can go back to that relationship that I had. They didn't really have anybody to fill those shoes. And it wasn't that I needed it. I don't need a full-time babysitter. But every once in a while, I do need 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year. I need some advice. I need some help. I've got this compressor, and the compressor is 16 months old, and we gave a one-year warranty. Will you go with me? Will you go dance with me on this?
Yep.
Will you give me the compressor? I'll do the labor for free. I'll do the labor and the Freon. Let's make this customer happy, but can I count on you to help me out under these circumstances? Now, I don't call, I make that call 3 times a year.
Yep.
You know, it's not that big of a deal. But that relationship helped with that. And yeah, Mark, we'll cover the labor and the Freon. No. A deal's a deal. I made the money on the front side of this deal, and
right.
so did you.
Yeah.
I made a lot more than you
yeah.
because of the labor and the Freon. But that's the kind of relationship I want. So I have moved, and we're real happy. And so, and the salesman is a high school buddy of mine. So we've known one another since the late 60s and early 70s.
Well, the same thing happened to me, too, Mark. I lost a guy that I had a 35-year relationship with. He started as a driver, and then he worked his way up to basically the district manager. And great guy. He was that guy that it could call up at any time and say, look, I got a problem. Mm-hmm. And he always had my back. Because our customers want the same thing that we want. They want a relationship with their shop owner or their service advisor. So when they got a problem, we drop what we're doing and we handle their problem and take care of them. And we want the same thing because if we're going to take care of that customer and make sure that that customer's satisfied, we all have to work together on this. And we all have to bend a little bit to make that customer happy. So, I feel your pain and it's the same thing. It's really disappointing when you lose that relationship because it's really, That relationship is hard to get back. It's hard to build that new relationship. And 35 years and 88 years you talked about, that doesn't happen overnight. That happens when, and I tell everybody this, and all the parts vendors and all my vendors, I tell them when there's a problem, you can be a hero or a zero. You figure mm-hmm. out which one you're going to be.
No, you're right. But the old parts guys used to say, I haven't heard anybody say this in a long time, the deal that's out of warranty. Okay?
Yeah.
Mark, you made her pregnant and had all the fun, and now you want us to pay for the baby.
Yeah.
You made more money than we did. And that's...
Yeah.
And those were valid responses.
Yeah.
Those were valid responses. So the dichotomy is at the end of the day, who has to make the customer happy as we do?
Right.
It's not the parts stores. It's not our vendors. It's none of that. We have to make the customer happy. Sometimes the customer's 4 years outside of warranty, and we're the bearer of bad news.
Right.
But if it's a customer that's been around a long time, perhaps maybe there's some kind of a financial arrangement that can be made to salvage the relationship. You, like me, I've got a great group of customers, And we've been around a long time, and we're now doing second and third generation of yep. mom and dad. And so that's kind of nice, too, because the kids have already been in and out and sat in our lobby and ate our candy. So, yep. you know, and come here for trick-or-treating. So it but there's just as many customers. No, there's some customers that are just very difficult to deal with and have requests and demands that might fall outside of parameters. And those are the ones that we have to deal with. And that's what sharpens our skills, too.
Yep.
So you can, and it also, like my dad used to say, after you've been in this business for a long time, you can kind of smell them. You can kind of hear them. You can hear them talk, and you kind of know yep. that this may not be something good. But, again, we're not talking about anywhere near the majority or minority. We're talking about a 1% group of a customer base, and no different than the dry cleaner, no different than the car wash, the full-service car wash, all those kind of guys. So it makes a big difference. The I had something else here that I wanted to we talked about. Anyway, I'll skip it because I can't find the paperwork. And when it comes to Larry Harker's Auto, he's at 38th Avenue and Indian School, and I oftentimes send people in that geographical area to him. Because Bob and Ellen, his wife, they run it. But they've got Jeremy and Bob in the back room, and between the two of them, they have skills that very few people I know have. So if your car on Wednesday morning at 10:15 p.m. burps, they can fix it. They'll find it. They'll fix it. It's the really weird stuff that they're really good at, but obviously they can fix why your windshield wiper motor's not working and stuff like that. So 38th Avenue and Indian School, been around a very long time, since 1967. Larry Harker's Auto Repair, fast, affordable services, good people. And you'll meet Ellen when you walk in, because she's gonna greet you at the front counter. And then Bob and Jeremy and the rest of the guys are out in the shop working on cars. So it's a good place. If you live in that area, I strongly suggest you try them for an oil change. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Dave Martin from Martin's Auto, 16th Street south of Indian School. And my name is Mark Salem, and we're here every Saturday talking about car repair. 602-508-0960. You have a car question. There's an argument in the family at the dinner table. You're wondering about what's the difference between, you know, I'm looking at some new cars, and I got two of them that I've narrowed it down to. Tell us what you think about the cars when it comes to their dependability and how happy the owners of the cars end up being. And I think that's pretty important.
Yep.
It's not a good idea to buy your wife a car based on your standards and have her hate the car. It's just not a good idea. Most of us that have been married any length of time know that it's whatever you want, honey, as yep. long as it isn't a Lamborghini or something like that. And I haven't seen one of those in quite a while. But the idea is, and then I want to bring up something else. 602-508-0960 if you have a car question. It's difficult for us to diagnose the car without that conversation at the front counter. And if it's not there, it has to be on the phone.
Yep.
So we have to talk about the vibration and when it occurs and stuff like that. It's not in their best interest to just walk in and say, I have a vibration, toss the keys at you and leave. We need to have some kind of a conversation. The other thing that I always tell folks is you need to say very sternly to them in a nice way, Mark, I have a code, and you say that I need to have a purge valve, and I need to make sure that this is a fix and not a guess.
Yep.
I need to make sure that I'm not going to have the check engine light come back on with exactly the same code. And you go, oh, we missed this the first time, so we replaced the A part, but now we're going to do the C part.
Yep.
That typically shouldn't happen. It does every once in a while. On a completely separate thing, I want to ask you a question. A Honda Ridgeline, mm-hmm. how long will they go without any oil at all?
2.4 miles.
How about 15 miles?
Really?
We forgot to put oil in a Ridgeline the other day.
Holy moly, 15 miles? 15
miles before we towed it home with the motor seized up. But what happened is the cam locked up, which blew the timing belt off, which caused the engine to die. But it's still toast.
Yeah.
So the guy used to work for me as a shuttle bus driver. He's a retired Tempe policeman. And so we said, we screwed up. We're sorry. I'm going to get another motor, put it in there, make you whole, give you a rental car and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He was really nice to us, and he laughed at us. But Eddie said, I don't know if I put oil in it. We were really busy. I don't remember. So Andy looked at the security cameras? And she goes, nope, he didn't.
Wow.
Well, when he came in, it didn't have any oil in it, so there's no question whose fault that is.
Yeah, right.
There was no oil trail of oil from our shop to where he's 15 miles away.
Yeah.
But those are the kinds of things that we all run into. So you just got to suck it up, put on your big boy pants, and just put it back to put the customer back together. That doesn't happen on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, that's the first time it's happened since we started in this business in 1979. This is the first time we've ever forgot to put oil in a car. I hope it doesn't happen in threes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's sometimes that's the way it does happen. But, you know, you were talking a little earlier about you know, what kind of car to buy. And we've been doing a lot of pre-purchase inspections.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely encourage anybody out there looking at a used car to definitely make sure, do yourself a favor and have that car looked over by an independent person that has your best interest at heart, because we will definitely let you know what kind of condition the vehicle's in, so you don't get yourself into a car that you're going to have to dump a boatload of money into it after you bought it. And so it's really important to do that. And people are starting to buy some cars, which is we've in the last 2 months. I don't know why, but it just seems like it's really picked up.
Well, I think on the used car checkovers, what we call it, used car checkover, we're looking for water lines. If this is a flood car off of the hurricanes.
Yep.
We're looking at vehicle emissions. We're looking at historical data. So we're going to go into the VIN and do a Carfax. We're going to give the customer a list of what it needs right now and what it's going to need a month from now and a year from now. We're also going to tell them about idiosyncrasies of the particular car. When this thing blows a fan belt, it's going to bend the valves. So it's not something that you can drive until the timing belt blows off of it, because it's going to triple and quadruple the bill. So we got to do that appropriately. You need to familiarize yourself with your owner's manual. They're all different. So it's going to tell you when you do the transmission. So when you go to a shop and they tell you you need a transmission, and you go, wait a minute, you just did it 6 months ago. And he goes, yeah, it's due every 6 months. You can open up your manual and you can tell what it is. It's all about. Action Auto Repairs at I-17 in Deer Valley. He's a good guy. Tom has been around since 1983, and I've known him since 1983. So no matter what your repair needs are, whether they're maintenance or a diagnostic or you got a noise or every time you turn on the radio it goes to the wrong station, they can handle it. They've got a fast turnaround time. They got ASC certified technicians. They get the job done right. Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley on the northwest corner. Now, the phone lines are open, so you're welcome to call 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and I'll throw something out there. You're welcome to tell us the name of the shop that you do business with, so long as you've been over 10 years. So you have to have done business with the shop, so you can say something nice about the shop. You're not allowed to call about me and Dave. You're not allowed to do that. But if you've done business with somebody for more than 10 years, and maybe you've had a hiccup or two, which helps, and how did they handle that? Now, we're not going to ask you how they handled that, but that's kind of one of the things that I think customers will agree, is if something happened bad, it was handled to my satisfaction. So if you have a garage, then that's okay. Do you know that one of the big chain stores just sold, and they absorbed another chain store? So we're changing some signs around, and there's some investment guys that just bought up 30 or 40 different auto repair shops. My bet is the prices will go up, because they have to feed somebody who just invested a lot of money. But I've been wrong before.
Yeah.
So anyway, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. After the hour of 10 o'clock, Dave Martin from Martin's Auto, 16th Street south of Indian School, and I'm Mark Salem here every Saturday from 10 to 12 talking about car repair problems. Auto Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted source for complete automotive services. I know Chuck Nide. I've known him a long time. It's family owned and operated, and they've been around since 1982. So if you're in the Sun City area, I'm sorry, but I can only refer you to one place. It's called Automotive Dynamics. And it's in the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. Derek is Chuck's son, and you'll find him there. And when you meet him and shake his hand, you'll understand why Mark Salem thinks so much of Derek and his business ability. And Dan, we got to take ladies first. So, Catherine, you're up first. How can I help you? Or tell me about your shop.
Hi. I have a tire question for you.
Sure.
A year ago, one of the big box stores replaced all the tires on my car. And just recently, I was coming in pretty fast to a parking lot and hit the curb and popped a tire. When I took it, when I had it towed in, they had to replace all the posts on the tire, I think, because they couldn't get the lug nuts off without breaking the posts.
Yeah, the studs. They had to replace the studs because they couldn't get the nuts off the studs. Yes, ma'am.
So I'm pretty sure that all of the other tires are going to have the same problem, because what are the odds that all of them on one tire only are bad? So I'm going to take it back in, and I was just wondering if there's anything that I should ask them or inquire about to make sure that it gets done correctly.
Okay. Yes. I think we can help you. First of all, I've been in this business since 1968, and what I hear you saying is that the nuts were improperly installed on the studs, which stripped them, which made it very difficult to get the nuts off, which is to get the wheel off and to replace the tire. That's the 1, 2, 3, right?
Right.
Okay. I've never seen anybody do all four tires and strip all the studs, and I've had a couple of technicians that had spaghetti between their ears, but I've never seen that. What part of town are you in?
Central Phoenix.
Okay. Are you close? Are you on the street side of Central or on the avenue side of Central?
Street side, right near the VA hospital.
Okay. 16th Street and Indian School, is that close?
Yep. Yep, okay. Very close.
I want you to go to Martin's Auto on 16th Street south of Indian School, because he's sitting next to me. And what he's going to do is I'm going to speak for you.
Go ahead.
She has to watch you.
Yeah.
She has to come out,
right.
And you're going to lift it up in the air, and you're going to check every single one, and you're going to show them what you're looking for.
Right.
And then I'll pay the bill.
Yeah.
Okay? I actually have information about you that your wife would be interested in. So at the end of the day, it's going to be just kind of a trade-off.
Yeah. For silence.
Yeah. So Catherine, you take it in and ask for Dave. And they're going to check it, but I want to tell you something. The odds of having another wheel stripped are about zero to about a million.
What I've done in the past with a situation like that is I actually went and got the lug wrench out of the trunk of the car.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to see, because that's really what your problem is. If you get broke down on the side of the road and the tire goes flat, you want to be able to change it. So what I had my guys do is pull the lug wrench out and make sure that they could loosen up all the lug nuts.
Right.
And then we retorqued them and did the right things. But so that way we made sure that the customer, if they did have a problem, they were able to be taken care of on the side of the road.
The only possibility from her having a set of lug nuts that are stripped and need studs and nuts is there was two guys on the gun.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them was kind of junior, and one of them, his phone rang about the time he pulls the supercharged trigger, and something happens, and he just winds him up tight. And so one guy's not going to make that mistake, but if you've got two guys with air wrenches and one's doing one side, or if there's three guys and say, hey, let's get this car out of here, that can happen. It's happened. That kind of stuff has happened where they left it loose.
Yep.
And so, Catherine, if there's no wobble and you don't have any knocking noise when you stop and you take off, then chances of them being loose are slim and none.
Yeah.
So Dave will just check it for you. But here's the problem. Or not the problem. Here, you have to go out and see it, because it's called the Dog and Pony Show. We want to show you, what we expect to find and what we do find. So that way you become educated, and it's not for any other reason other than to help you understand what this is all about.
Right.
And then you'll see for yourself that everything is fine, and the comparison can be done with the one that's got four brand new studs and four brand new nuts on it.
Right.
And so you can say, okay, here's the new ones and here's your old ones. Take a look. That kind of stuff, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. You bet. Dan, you're up next. How can we help you?
Yeah, Mark, you were talking about that Ridgeline running out of oil, going 15 miles, or not having oil put in. What happened to the technology? What about the idiot lights?
Okay.
I'm gonna listen to you on the radio because I'm watching ASU on TV at the same time.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. How do you bring that up without, is that conversation sound like, my goodness, John, every light on the dashboard was lit up.
Yeah.
I mean, when is it you're going to stop? You have three red lights.
Yeah.
Does that overcome my responsibility?
No.
No.
It's not a conversation you want to have.
It's not one you need to have.
Right. You don't want to have
it
that.
It doesn't mean...
Yeah.
Maybe he was in heavy traffic.
Yeah.
Maybe his wife was on the phone. Maybe he saw this pretty hitchhiker that he was trying to pick up. God knows what the situation was, but it's not his fault.
Yeah.
The answer to your question, Dan, is I wondered that. We all wondered that. Why didn't we have bells and whistles and sirens going off?
Yeah.
But we didn't. Now, he is an older guy, and there's a chance that he's wearing hearing aids. Maybe he didn't have them in that day. I wear hearing aids.
Yeah.
And so there's also a possibility that he had the radio up real loud, or maybe he had the driver's window down, and it was a nice day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's all kinds of what-ifs.
Yeah.
So we have two things, two warnings, audible and visual. So if he's looking out the windshield and he doesn't have his hearing aids in, then what can we do?
Yeah.
But the end of the day is this wouldn't have happened had we put
oil in the car.
Yeah. We wish he would have stopped, but there's nothing you can do about it. Anyway, thanks, Dan. That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, how do you handle that? That's a touchy one right there.
Yeah. Well, I think you did it the right way. You just took responsibility and said, you know what? We screwed up. It's not the customer's responsibility to do that. And, so, at the end of the day, the bottom line is if there would have been oil put in the car, it would have never happened. So.
And it doesn't make any difference about all that other stuff.
Yeah, right. It doesn't.
He goes to his, I decide to play stupid. He goes to his insurance company and says, somebody damaged my car.
Yeah.
So the insurance company puts a new motor in it. Then they come back after me. And you think I'm going to be able to win that argument by saying he should have known?
No.
Here's another just like that. He just rotated my tires 6 months ago. Okay. And, well, I just had one blown out. You should have known. That's a little easier to defend.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Then you look at the tire and you see that it has a tread separation. So we have a significant amount of the tread that's worn flatter than the rest of the tire. So there's a vibration because that says vibration. So then the question turns around to the customer. You had to have a vibration. Take a look at this.
Yeah.
And you had a vibration before this tire let go. And I did this a long time ago. And I don't know how long the vibration's been there, but this isn't my fault.
Right.
So it's a tough conversation to have. But you know what? We have two or three a year. That's all.
Yeah.
We don't have... This doesn't happen. And in your shop, it doesn't happen. But we're kind of talking about it so that we can open up the door.
Right.
And we're kind of showing you or talking about what we think a good shop would do and what we think you might be missing on the bad side.
Well, I tell you, you know, earlier in the segment here, you were talking about vibrations and noises. And I said, you know, I wanted to ask you, have you ever fixed the wrong noise before?
Of course.
Yeah, we did it too. So what we do now, and we changed our policy, and probably in the last 10, 15 years, any noise or any vibration, customer brings it in, we let them know up front, you're gonna be here for about 30 minutes because we're going to go for a ride with you. And we want to make sure, and I encourage all the people out there listening to the show, is that if you have a noise or a vibration, please insist go for a drive with the technician or the service manager or somebody so they can hear the noise, feel the vibration, because sometimes we had a noise that was so loud it was obnoxious, and the customer brought it in, we fixed it, we didn't go for a ride with them, this was a long time ago, and customer says, well, you didn't fix my noise. We fixed the most obnoxious noise, but she said, oh no, that noise has been there ever since I've had the car. This other noise that she could barely hear, we didn't fix. So
well,
we had egg in her face.
No, but to compound that even worse, we've all done that. Okay,
yeah.
You just have to live and die by that.
Yeah.
It's your fault anyway because you should have taken
it. Exactly,
and it's my fault when that happens to me.
Yeah,
it's
right.
My fault.
Exactly.
The real issue is intermittent problems.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So you have to sit down with the customer and your customer and say, "I need to know." And we have a cheat sheet: cold, hot, left turn, right turn, AC on, AC off. Related to brake application, not related to brake application. Oh, the passenger window is intermittent. Okay, I need you. Who else rides with you? Oh, my husband's always there. Okay, fine. What I want you to do is, it doesn't work, passenger side window. Okay, I want your husband to push it in the down position, and you hit the side of the door with your fist, not enough to dent it, but to just jar it. I want to know if the window works then. Because the brushes on the motor are bad.
Right, exactly.
Is there any noise associated with raising or lowering the windows when it works? So it's the educational process And I think if you can get the customer to walk in and go, hey, every time I hit the outside of the door, the damn window works, we're done. We're done. And ain't the switch. That's for doggone sure. Yeah. So it's going to be the motor. So that kind of give and take is important, but the intermittent stuff drives all of us crazy, but it's still something that we should be able to get doggone close to. Here's one of the answers I stole from one of the old guys. What we do know is it's not anything that's should cause you to break down.
Right.
So it's something that's intermittent, but that's the best we can do. And we can't hear it, but we've checked everything that would make a difference or cause you to break down, and we can't find anything there. So
we had a car one time. We had it for a whole week trying to get an intermittent problem. The customer picked up the car after a week, drove it a block down the street, and it acted up. I'm like, oh my, that's just, but we did exactly what you said. We went over the whole car. We couldn't find anything and it didn't leave them stranded or anything, but it was crazy. It just,
Well, one of the things that we do, and we learned it from another shop, is we all have rubber mallets.
Yeah.
So when the car's up in the air, everybody comes over, you have 4 or 5 techs, and everybody's hammering on the underside of the car with a rubber mallet. If there's a bad bushing, you're going to find it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's clunk when you stop and clunk when you take off. Clunk when you stop, that's a suspension shift. So they're going to say it definitely is related to stopping and taking off. Okay, we got it.
Yeah.
We got it. All we got to find out is which one of the bushings underneath this suspension is bad. So that's going to be easy. There's another good shop in town I want to tell you about real quick. And if you live anywhere near I-17 and Bell Road, Kurt's Automotive is on the northeast corner, been around since 87. I know Kurt really well. He does both domestic and import, both gas and diesel. And he hates it when I say this, but if your weed eater doesn't start and run, drop it by and Kurt's will get it running for you. He hates that when I say that.
Yeah, I bet he does. Yeah.
So he does lots of good work. He has ASE certified technicians. I have his cell phone. I know his wife. I know he's a good shop, or I wouldn't tell you. So if you're anywhere near I-17 and Bell and you don't have a repair shop, perhaps just try him for an oil change. That's no matter what. If you're in my area and you want to test me, don't bring a car in that you got $2,000 worth of work to do. Bring it in for an oil change. See how I treat you. See if they try to sell you everything under the sun. See if they do a good job. See if they communicate with you really well. And see if the oil change creates a list that's a mile long that's $5,000 worth of work that you need right now. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for the oil change is an opportunity to sell you everything in the world. Lifetime rotations or lifetime alignments, those are the ones that wad my panties up. I'm telling you what. My panties are just like if somebody gave me a wedgie and they pulled the legs over my shoulders. Because it's just free lifetime alignments. You talk about a search and sell mission.
Yeah.
My God. It makes no sense. So I'm telling you the lifetime alignment is not something I recommend. It's not something I sell. And I think you'd be much better served to have the guy that you trust and that perhaps your parents knew or perhaps you've known for years and years. Just have them shake down the suspension and look at the tire wear when they do an oil change. And that's really kind of cheap. It's also included in an oil change. So most of us, 99% of the shops are going to give it a good look over. And tire wear on the front is something that we should see. There should be no excuse for that. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. One more time, 602-508-0960, and you can get in and we'll talk. Well, this is the beginning of the second hour of our show every Saturday. We're talking about car repair, anything that you'd like to ask us. Perhaps you want to ask us about what you were told by a shop. Please don't name the shop. Just say, this is what I was told, and we're going to discuss that. A lot of times the shop says you need something, and my response or Dave's response might very well be, well, that comes with a symptom. Does your car do this? And that's the kind of conversation we can have. And I've got Rick standing by. And, Rick, I'm going to be with you in about 45 seconds. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is up in North Phoenix. He's off the I-17 in Pinnacle Peak. Nate is Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. He really knows diesels. He can walk up. I'm just teasing you. He can walk up and talk to the motor without raising the hood. He is really, really good. So I'm really pleased to have him as part of our best car repair shop list, because diesel shops are hard to find. So if you have a diesel, a Ford, a Chevrolet, the Duramax, or any of the Dodges, well, there's only 2, 5, 9, and 6, 7. If you have any of the problems that they've got, or a problem that no one else has been able to find, I can virtually guarantee you that Nate can find the root of the problem, and depending on the estimate, then, you know, he can fix it. So nevertheless, strictly diesel service and repair. Let's go to Rick. Rick, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning to you. I have a Hummer H2, and I was getting a vibration underneath. And so I climbed underneath, and I wiggled the exhaust pipe where the tail pipe goes into the muffler itself, I guess. And there, I can physically wiggle it. And it looks like the weld is broken, like halfway through where the tailpipe goes to the muffler. And I was wondering if you have somebody that you know that to be able to tell if it can be welded or has to be replaced. Do you have a shop that?
Okay, what part of town are you in?
I'm based 67th Avenue in Bell.
Okay, I think. You obviously have a muffler shop, so do I.
Yeah.
But this is not applicable for your Central Phoenix, and I'm South South Valley.
I can go anywhere.
Okay, but here let me guide you. There's 4 or 5 shops around you, so you call them up, and this is what it sounds like. My mom lives in your area, and she's got this noise that the neighbor guy said that it's where one of the exhaust pipes connects to something else. And I know my mom drives a Hummer, but she just feels safe in it. Where would you send my mother in your geographical area? And then once you get a muffler shop that comes out of the shop's mouth of 2 or 3 shops, then that's where I'd go. So just call a couple of shops in that geographical area and just say to them, I'd like somebody to look at this and see if it can be fixed or if we actually have to replace the muffler and the front side of the tailpipe. I don't know. I'm in Kansas City. Okay?
So
hit star 7 before you call them on your cell phone, because they're going to know. They're going to know you're in error. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not unethical.
No.
It's an opportunity for you. I don't mind those kinds of calls.
Yeah.
None of my staff minds those kinds of calls, especially if it's like a convertible top. Hey, who do you have fixed convertible tops? Well, that's not something that we do, one a year? One every 5 years?
Yeah.
But we do know in our geographical area who that might be. So where did you say you were at, 60th and?
67th Avenue in Bell.
Okay, who have I got up there? Call Mike's Auto Tech. Call Mike's Auto Tech and ask Mike and tell him you talked to another shop down on 16th Street south of Indian School, and Dave said he doesn't really know a carburetor from a starter, but you thought you'd try him anyway. You know, when they do that, when you give them that, as soon as they open that door, you know that Dave sent them.
Yeah.
So it's automatically the customer's kind of elevated to a level of, okay, we're going to make Dave proud of us.
Yeah.
We're going to have.
And I know Mike, too. Mike's a good guy.
Yeah, no, he is a good guy. Yeah. So I think now Mike may want to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if that's the case, then take it by and let him look at it. So, well, you're going to have to be the brother of the guy that called, though.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting everybody start lying, but I think you can see that if we manipulate a little bit of the story, we're probably going to accomplish our goal, and it's not for some nefarious reason.
Yeah.
It's not for anything like that. Anyway, Rick, good luck to you. Good luck.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's, we got another caller, and that's Gil's air gun out there. Gil, go ahead.
And say hello to Sadiq.
Sadiq, how can I help you?
Good morning. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Subaru Outback 2000. Sometimes I have a hard time to start, not every day, but someday.
Okay.
What could be a problem?
Okay. Now, this is exactly front counter stuff, okay? Now, Sadiq, I need to talk to you about what's going on. When you hit the key normally, when you hit the key, it goes ruh, 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 ruh. Yes?
No. Just one click and that's it.
Okay, I know. But I said normally. When everything is okay, you hit the key and it goes ruh, 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 right?
start immediately.
Yes, fine,
when
fine.
It's normal.
Okay, when it's acting up, what I hear you saying is when I hit the key, it just clicks. Right? You can hear a click?
Yes, one click and that's it.
Okay, and that's it. So it doesn't go rrr, 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 rrr. It's not cranking the motor over. You just hit the key and there's a click. Okay.
Yeah, just click and nothing else.
Okay, now, in order for you to get it to start, what do you do? Do you just keep turning the key and clicking, and then all of a sudden it works?
Just clicking.
Okay.
Try, and get starting, and after that it starts immediately each time.
Okay. How many miles are on your Subaru?
155.
Okay. Have you ever put a starter in it?
Just before a couple of months.
Okay. A couple of months ago?
Yes.
Okay. And did you have this problem before you put the starter in?
Yes. I was thinking it was starter. And before the start, the problem was when this engine hot and it shut down hot.
Okay.
And I was thinking it started problem, and I changed starter, put new one, and was fine for maybe 1 month. And after that, start when it's hot, but later start also when it's cold in the morning.
Okay. When it clicks, what that says is we use a little bit of electricity to fire up the solenoid.
I turn on the lights and I watch. Nothing changed on lights, all bright when I try to start.
Okay. Well, the clicking noise means the solenoid is talking, but it's not really activating the starter. When you put a starter in, did you do the solenoid and the starter, or did you just replace the starter motor and use the old solenoid?
I replaced complete.
Okay, good, good, good. It's when you have a click and you don't change the headlights intensity, which is kind of a good clue, then we're not engaging the starter. We're not asking the starter to spin. Otherwise, the headlights would dim. So, and can you get close enough to the starter with a hammer?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I would do if I were you. You get in the car and you hit the key.
I tried to hit starter.
Okay. Did you have your wife turning the key on and holding it on to the start position?
No, I usually... in post office by itself, so I hit a couple times, started, and tried to start.
Okay. That's not what we need. We need somebody holding the key on, and then the other person tapping the starter. And then if it works every time you tap it, then we got a problem with the starter or the solenoid. There's so much to this, Dave.
Yep.
We have to check the voltage at the top of the solenoid.
Yep.
We cannot have it be, it needs to be 12, 8 to 13 to start with. Then when you hit the key to the starter, it cannot drop below 9.6. So that's going to test the battery and the connections. So there's an electrical systems test that you must do with meters, and you have to have it happening. It could be a bad ground. It could be where we've lost the ground from the frame to the engine, and so we're trying to ground it through the accelerator cable, stuff like that. So let me change the question, Dave. So he brings it in to you, and he says to you, it'll happen, I'm going to leave it with you for a couple hours. I want you to, how much is your electrical systems check, and it's all the same, alternator, battery, and starter.
Alternator, battery, and connections.
And connections.
You've got to check all the connections.
Okay.
$75.
Okay. And I think almost everybody's at 50 to 100.
Yeah.
And I didn't prompt you on that.
No, I get it.
You're right in the middle of the market.
Right. I am.
And what's your chances of success?
Of finding it?
Yeah.
Good.
If it's happening.
Absolutely.
If it'll click a couple of times, we're ready for it.
Yeah.
So we're hooked up all over the car and we're ready.
Yeah.
And we've got one tech at the front, one tech on the side, one tech on the side, and somebody inside the car. And so we're ready for it to happen, and we've got at least one meter on it.
Yep.
We could have a meter on the starter, an amp draw meter. We could have an inductive amp probe. We could also have a voltmeter on the starter and a voltmeter on the battery. But one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to do a volt drop test on the connections on the battery.
Yeah.
But he said that there was no change of intensity. So if we're losing the connection, we should have the headlights go out and come back on slowly. So those are the kinds of experience that needs to happen. And I'm sorry you changed the starter, because that it probably could have been fixed without that.
Okay, so. I guess. But I am confused. For example, last 3 days it start no problem any time, but this morning won't start. So after maybe 5 minutes, I try, and finally it start, and I immediately shut down and start every time after that.
Okay. We can't fix it based on what you said. We can answer the question you had after we fix it. Yeah. So, Mark, why did it starts on a regular basis and then all of a sudden it doesn't? Well, you had a bad ground. You had this. You had that. That's going to cause it intermittently to work and intermittently not to work. And I held the key on, and I had him gently tap the starter, and nothing happened. But every time he touched the solenoid with a light tap of the hammer, boom, it went. It started. So we're not going to fix it based on what you just said. We're going to fix it by getting it to happen, and we're going to be able to have all of our meters on there, and we're going to know why we're not getting the appropriate voltage to the starter or the solenoid, because the battery connects to the starter, and the starter connects to the solenoid. So we've got that going on. But anyway, good luck to you, buddy. But like I said, $50 to $100 around town, and that's pretty good idea. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and we have five. And Mark and Dave are sitting here, and we're feeling kind of bad. Are your feelings hurt?
Yes.
Okay, because no one's calling in.
Yes.
Now, listen, if you want to talk about marriage counseling, we can handle that as well. Okay? If your kids are acting up, we can handle that as well. We like cars, and we like car questions. But if you need a psychiatrist, I'm happy to put my hat on, and we'll see what we can do for you. 602-508-0960. Oh, it's 20 minutes after, 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Dave Martin from 16th Street South of Indian School, Martin's Auto, and Mark Salem here at your service. And really quick, let me tell you about Thompson's Auto Repair. It's the only shop in Mesa that I can recommend. I've known Brian and Thelma, and I know their parents, and we date back to the late 60s. And their parents were involved in car repair in Mesa. And I respected both of their families, the Vivian and the Thompsons. I respected them, and I got to see what ethics were all about. And Brian and Thelma, they demonstrate family ethics. So if you're in Mesa, they're on Main Street, just east of Stapley. It's the only shop in Mesa that I can recommend. It doesn't mean there's not good shops there. It's just I know, and I can recommend them with all the confidence in the world. Thompson's Auto Repair. All right, let's go to the phones. Gail, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, I'm just calling to say I noticed there's not very many people calling here. Your radio show.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
It's because everybody else is onto the politics. You know, they're all going crazy with the politics, and I'm done with that. And so I'm listening to your show.
Gail,
I want to, huh?
You wouldn't believe this.
Uh-huh.
At the break, Dave turns to me and he goes, "Gosh, every time I've ever been here, we've just had the lines packed." And I said to him, "I think it's the politics that's robbing us from callers." Gail, and then you call in and you say the same thing. You know, there's got to be a Jesus out there.
Brilliant minds think alike, Mark.
Oh, gosh, Gail, that is so funny. We just had that conversation.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the air, because then I don't have to listen to politics.
Well, I'm glad we served some purpose.
And I learned some things, too, you know, And I'm at home. We're at home all the time. I have to make sure that I drive both of the cars once a week, mm-hmm. and we get gas no more than once a month, whereas I used to get it three times a week.
Wow! Now, what part of town are you in?
We're in Maryvale.
Oh, Maryvale! I don't have anybody up there, do I? Do you travel any other place other than Maryvale? Go to the kids' house or?
Yeah, no, our kids are all far away, so we go I go up to Peoria to go grocery shopping, because those are the stores I like, and I just generally stay nearby, because we're in our 70s.
Can you write me an email, will you?
Sure.
Okay, it's easy, because it's Mark, with a K, Mark at MarkSalem, like the cigarette, .com. Mark at MarkSalem.com. Here's why I'm asking you to do that. You made both of us laugh. I'm going to buy your next oil change. I just need to know where we're going to send you, and then I'll call and pay for it in advance. So I don't want anything from you. I'm doing this because I need all the help I can get, because when I knock on the door, he's going to have his hands on his hips, and I'm going to say, well, wait a minute. I bought Galen oil change, but no, I'm being silly, but I'd like to do that for you. So if you'd send me an email and give me your phone number, I'd like to call you and set that up, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Gail.
It's going to be a while before we need it, but
that's okay. Nope, that's okay. I can handle it. I can handle it.
Well, I enjoy your show. Even if I don't understand a lot about cars, I learn a lot.
Well, and thank you for that. Thank you very much, Gail. Thank you, Rudy. You're up next. How can I help you?
Good morning. I've got a 2003 Honda CR-V, all-wheel drive. In pretty good shape, even though it has 188,000 miles on it. And what I get is when I go and make a right-hand turn and straighten out, it tends to pull to the right afterward. When I make a left-hand turn, I don't have that. So what I do to compensate is that the next stop sign or what have you, I will pull over or stop, turn the wheel all the way to the left, and then straighten the wheel back up again, and then it continues along like nothing ever happened.
Okay. There's so many things that can be.
Yeah.
It can be a lower ball joint that's hung up real hard. It could be an upper strut mount that can be bad. Mm-hmm. It can be a pressure problem in the power steering. It could be a frozen tie rod end. There's so much that is related. That I'm thinking that if you have a gray-haired guy with a rubber mallet and that car up in the air, and he's got his assistant behind the wheel, I'm betting that he can find it or get 99% close. Do you have a place that does your oil change that is more than just a quick lube?
I tell you, I do all my stuff myself usually.
Okay. Well, if you want to do that, jack the front end off the ground, and Put your first start by turning the steering wheel left and right all the way with no power steering, with the engine off. So you're going to turn the steering wheel what we call lock to lock, left all the way to the end and right. And then you're going to have your wife do it, and you're going to put your hands on the ball joints. And so you're going to turn hard right, and then she's going to do the steering wheel. And the car's still off, the engine's still off, and you're going to touch the ball joints on either side. Then you're going to touch the top of the strut mounts that are underneath the hood, and then you're going to touch the ball joints. And you're going to look for something that's different, something that's bad, something like that. Okay. Something that's different is what you're looking for.
Got it.
And if you can't get your wife to help you, then call your girlfriend, okay?
I will.
Well, hey, Rudy, I can hear your wife in the back.
She's not here. Yeah. I know. She came.
I know. That's why I said it. I heard her in the background. So tell her I was just teasing, and tell her the name of the guy that was teasing you is Dave Martin. Okay?
Got it.
Dave Martin. Thank you, Rudy. Thank you. Ed, you're up next. How can we help you, Ed?
Okay. I've got a 2006 Caravan. And I go up to Prescott a lot to work. And a couple of weeks ago, it was about 26 degrees in the morning, and the van wouldn't get up to operating normal temperatures. I never had a problem with overheating. It's always run well.
Okay.
So I changed the thermostat.
Okay.
And it didn't change anything. When it's really, really cold, it still has a hard time getting up to a normal operating temperature.
Okay. That's a tough one, because he's already done the thermostat.
Yeah.
And what kind of a van was it? A 6 watt?
A 2006 Dodge Caravan.
Oh, a Dodge Caravan. I mean, I know how. Here, I'll just do this. The first thing I would want to do is I'd want it in the shop, and I would want to touch the upper radiator hose as soon as Dave gets in it and holds it at fast idle when it's cold, and I want to be able to feel if the water's moving through the top hose. I want to feel that. The other thing I want to do is how long does it take at a fast idle for the electric fans to turn on? because that's going to be about 220, 230. And I'm going to use a temperature gun, and I'm going to point it at the upper radiator hose and the lower radiator hose to make sure the upper's coming in hot and the lower's coming out cold. So there's a series of tests. Now, here's the next question that I really need to know. At 21 below or 21 degrees Fahrenheit, how many miles before you got heat?
Probably about 4 to 6 miles, I guess.
Okay. And I'll tell you why I ask you that. We just had 21 degrees up in Payson, and every single plastic pipe that fed every single water tank that fed all the horses blew up that morning. And but I had to run to the Tractor Supply to get some stuff, and when I started my diesel truck, it never blew warm air all the way to Tractor Supply and all the way back home. And I didn't expect it would, and it's about 3.5-4 miles there and 3.5-4 miles back. And I didn't expect my truck to blow warm air in that short period of time. But if the 21 goes away and we move you from 21 to 30 or something like that, then I would think that would be a good test, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to get right to the callers 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we're going to go to Don. Don, oh, by the way, I owe Ed's wife an apology. And was it Ed or Rudy that I got?
I think
it was
Rudy.
Okay. And, Ed, we got to talking at the thing. We want to make sure that you put the thermostat in right, because if you flip the thermostat inadvertently, which I've done myself before, it takes forever for the car to warm up. Because we want the bulb that opens the thermostat to be on the hot side of the circulation, and if you move the bulb to the cold side, then it takes forever for it to warm up. And we were talking about a temperature gun. The temperature gun's going to just tell us if the thermostat housing is warming up. It's going to tell us if the upper hose and lower home. And you can buy a thermostat gun at Harbor Freight for real cheap, and you'll use it for a million other things. Don, when did you get out of jail, Don?
Oh, it's been a while.
Okay, all right, good. Are you on probation?
Hey, I bought a motorhome, and it's on a P chassis.
Uh-huh.
And it's got airbags in the front. Is there supposed to be a certain amount of air in those bags?
Yeah, there's going to be air in those bags, but there's no sticker anywhere?
I haven't looked at it that close. I just, you know, it floats along like the GMs do, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a P30 chassis.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know what I do? I would go find a parts store that has a bag for that P30. And then I would go and look at the bag, look at the box, and look inside the box. Most parts stores will do that for you. And see what the inflation value is on the directions. But I'm guessing 50 to 80 pounds is going to be where you're at. I'm guessing.
Ah, okay.
Okay, it's not going to be 20, I can tell you that much. But you know what else I'd do, Don? I would air them up until you saw the vehicle move, like the body move. Yeah. Just I wouldn't go over 80 pounds, but I'd just air it up slowly until I saw a shift, because you're going to see the body lift up over the suspension. So I'd air it up just to when
it moves. I don't know if I can get that much wind out of me.
Well, then, you know, have your wife help you. Now, listen, Don, you tell her I'm kidding, okay? Don't you get me in trouble.
I don't remember it. That's the only thing. You know,
well, so. You know what, though? I know where you work. I know you're a tow truck driver, and I'm capable of saying, call Don, here's his cell phone, he gives away free tows.
There you go.
Okay. All righty. Hey, thanks for calling, Don. John, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, how you doing, Mark?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you.
Good. I was calling in regards to, I bought a used Ford Edge of 2019. And I know your thoughts on Fords, and then I know your wife has a Ford. But I was wondering if with your experience, is that a pretty reliable vehicle, the Ford Edge?
Oh, sure. You're a friend of my wife's, and she put you up to this, and I know damn well that's what's going on here. And all right, let me tell you. it's turned out to be a really great car. It goes up and down in pace. She's got 120,000 miles on her. We've done, other than just simple maintenance, we've had no failures. We've had nothing wrong. I think we did an air dam on the bottom of the front because someone else was driving it and hit a parking block and kind of damaged that. I don't think we've done anything other than oil changes, tire rotations, and I'm not quite sure we've even done brakes on it, but that explains it's 90 miles to Payson and 90 miles back. So the answer to your question is it's probably an A or an A-plus car, and my wife would say that. She would agree with me.
Excellent. So. Thank you.
Yeah, right. And I tell Mark all the time. I tell Mark all the time that I'm increasing his property value by parking my Ford in front of his shop.
You mean the one that's on fire right now, huh? The one that's on fire right now. Hey, John, throw another gallon of gas on that Ford. All right. Hey, thank you, John. Good luck to you. But no, I really do. I'm giving you the best advice I can. Even though if I knew your last name, I'd come to your house and I would paint your front door for you. But you know, he just did that on purpose. He wanted the anti-Ford guy to say something nice about the Edge.
Yes.
Oh boy, I'm mad. Okay, Mike, I'm going to get your question and no, Mike, you just go right ahead. We'll take care of you. What can we do for you?
All right, I've got a 2005 Nissan pickup. The check engine light was on, and by the way, it was due for emissions.
Okay.
It said the left front cat, which is a pre-cat, was insufficient. So I drove for a while, and the light went off. It was about 3 to 4 weeks of driving.
Okay.
And then since there was no code, I did go through emissions, and it passed. Do I still change the cat?
No.
No.
No. No, Dave, right? No.
Yeah, no.
No. Here's the deal. It may not have been the cat, and there's a good chance it wasn't the cat. It's a good thing you didn't change it because the code tells you the problem's in Cleveland, and you got to find. Well, first of all, you got to find the state, the city, then the street, and the house number. There's an O2 sensor in front and behind that cat. If the front one should always say rich and the back one should always say lean, well, if one of them goes out of whack or has, you know, gets drunk on a weekend or something like that, then we have mismatched signals. Well, the fact that the light went away is maybe you went out and hot rodded, or you let your grandson drive it, and he went out there and did some rip, snort, and drag racing on Central Avenue, and all of a sudden it's fine. Here's what I thought you were going to say. The check engine light went off, and he went through emissions, and they wouldn't let him because the monitors had not reset.
Right, yeah, I was thinking the same
okay,
thing.
Okay, there's a process after the check drive cycle. You got it. So the fact that you pass the drive cycle, the monitors reset, and your check engine light goes off, I'm telling you unequivocally, if that was mine, I wouldn't touch it.
Yeah.
Now, I would do this. Can you just drive it a little harder than you normally do? Can you manually shift it from first, second, and third, and every once in a while just run it to third gear and floor it when you're out on the freeway and just kind of run it kind of hard. Let's get the exhaust really hot, and I think that would help you. I don't want you to blow the engine up. I just want you to run it like you stole it, okay?
Okay.
Run it like you stole it.
Okay, and I'm going to steal his van in just a few minutes and go run the heck out of it. Steve, you stay there.
Hey, I've got one more question for you.
Okay, hold still. I got to take a break, and they're yelling at me because 40 I'm supposed to hit. So, Mike, I'll get to one more question. Steve, you're up next, and 602-508-0960 is the phone number. Time, it's 43 minutes after the hour. We've got Dave Martin from Martin's Auto, 16th Street south of Indian School, and he kind of knows what he's talking about as much as me. And we're going to go back to Mike real quick, and then Steve, and then Bob. So, Mike, you had a second question.
Yes. On my Nissan pickup, it's got 168,000 miles. It's been well-maintained. And the problem that when it's cold, there's like a valve clicking, like tit-tit-tit-tit-tit-tit. And when it warms up, it gets better. Is there something I can do without replacing the whole engine or the top end?
Well, if it has an overhead cam, it's likely to have adjustable valves.
Okay.
And here's what I would do. I would call a shop in the area, and I would say, I have a 2005 Nissan pickup with a blah, blah, blah motor. How much do you charge to adjust the valves? If they say, oh, no, they're automatic adjusting, then that's your answer. But if
Got
they're
it.
Adjustable... then, and 160 if you haven't had them done. And the keywords here is it goes away after it warms up.
Right.
That it changes for the better after it warms up. I would think you'd probably be a valve adjustment. That's probably what I would do. It's not easy to do, but
I know. I'm just curious.
Yeah, but a valve adjustment would be one of the things I would look at. Can you think of anything? How about this? Could it possibly be a tick-tick from an exhaust leak?
Don't know.
Okay, I can tell you, even technicians will mess that up. A tick-tick from an exhaust leak, and it'll be good when it'll be noisy when it's cold, and then as soon as everything swells up, then... and I'll tell you how we would find that. You'd bring it in and leave it overnight, and we have this machine that makes smoke. And we stick the machine up the tailpipe. Kind of sounds like a proctologist, you know what I mean? And stick it up the tailpipe, and then we blow white smoke into the exhaust system. And if it comes out up front from the exhaust manifold, bingo! But that smoke test is like $60. So, I mean, it takes a lot of equipment, and it takes a chemical to make smoke, and the technician's going to be tied up for an easy half an hour. But it's either going to be one or the other. Dave?
Yeah, I agree.
It has to be one or the other.
One or the other.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, Mike, good luck to you. And Steve, thank you for holding. How can we help you?
Hi, Mark. On a lot of cars, when you're parking and pulling in kind of fast, and if you don't straighten the steering wheel when you park, and then you go to restart it, the key won't turn until you turn the steering wheel back. What's happening with that?
It's you.
I know, right?
It is you.
Yeah.
And folks, what he's talking about is he's turning the steering wheel to the right or left. We call loading the steering. Okay? Now, when he turns the engine off, he puts it in park and turns the engine off, the steering wheel will move. It'll move left to right, maybe 3 inches, 4 inches. At that point, you've tightened up all the linkage in that steering column, and you, like you said, you have to pull the steering wheel a half an inch to the left or a half an inch to right, which unloads the key and makes it start. So this is yours. You owe me $6.
Okay, perfect. But why won't it start with it loaded like that?
Because it's binding up.
It's bound.
It's binding up. And I have some elderly customers that have done that, and I go to the parking lot and have to, you know, just put a little muscle into it just to get the key to turn. So.
But the key here was, as you said, that you put your hand, let's pretend, on your hand at 12 o'clock, and you just wiggle the steering wheel left and right, and all of a sudden the key works and it cranks over and starts. That's what you said, or did I misunderstand?
Right. That's correct. Okay. So like if you look and the wheels are turned one way, you just turn the steering wheel the other way, or you just wiggle it around?
Just wiggle it left and right.
Yeah.
Just keep your hand on the key, and then just grab it at 12 o'clock and just kind of go left and right. But all I want you to do is different is this. Take a little wider turn and try to go straight into the spot. Wait a minute now. If you can do that 5 times and nothing happens, then I'm right and you owe me $6.
Perfect. Okay. I think I owe you $6. Thank you, Mark.
No, you put it in the tray next time it passes, okay?
Perfect.
I need all the help I can get. That's called penance right there. Steve, thank you very much. Bob, you're up next. How can we help you?
Mark, my son got an accident in Florida in a 2014 GMC Sierra pickup, and the insurance company, the frame's bent, and they ordered a new frame, and they're going to rebuild the truck on the new frame.
Yeah.
So I'm really worried about what condition the truck's going to be in, you know, because they have to rebuild the whole truck at the shop.
No, not really. Oftentimes the corner of the frame is the damaged area, the left front, right rear, left rear. But the body is still intact. So we lift the body off of the frame and we slide this new frame underneath. Now think about this. If all the bolts fit all the holes, then we're home free. We're home free. So they've already put it on a frame rack because they know the frame's bent. They've already put it on a frame rack. They already know something's going on. I want to tell you something. This wouldn't bother me a bit. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't want to use the name, but the shop that's doing the work, is it one that's been around a long time? Is it a dealership? Is it a big, big body shop? And is the insurance company running interference for your son?
Yeah, you don't want me to say the name of the insurance company.
Well, if you have nice things to say, then you can say the name of the insurance company.
Yeah, it's Geico. And the adjuster's been in contact with us, you know, continually through the whole process. And then he says he trusts the shop that it's in. He does a lot of work with them.
Okay.
And Geico represented the person that hit him, too. They were at fault, the person that hit him.
Yeah.
And so Geico is on both ends of it or whatever.
It's coming out of one pocket and going in the other. Let me put you at ease even more. There's some insurance companies that I won't work for because they want to stick their hand up the back of my shirt and move my mouth. So the question is this or is that that? And I say to them, be prepared for the truth and you're going to pay me one or the other. Liberty Mutual, USAA, Geico, Farm Bureau. Those are the four big dogs I work for. I respect them immensely. They do right and not wrong. They don't play hide the facts, and they're there to fix the car, and they insist on fixing it right, and they don't tell me what to say. So I think I just had a case with Geico, and I was really proud to be on their side because at the end of the day, they stepped up and made everything right that they needed to make right. There was some expectations out there in Never Never Land that weren't reasonable, but they did everything right. So, and he's standing in front of the shop. He's representing the shop is good. Now he's in the middle between your son and the shop. All your son has to do is when he drives down the road and he picks up the truck, he gets his girlfriend behind him, and he drives straight, and she goes left and right to make sure that the left side isn't going down the road crooked and the right side isn't going, or he switches places. She drives straight, and he's behind, and he's looking down the side of the truck. And as long as it's going straight ahead, you're home free.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Good luck to you, buddy. Good luck. All righty. That happens a lot, but did I draw that picture good where the body sits down on the frame and all the holes line up?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the equipment that they've got today, the technology that we've got today, you know, years ago, that was a big concern of everybody's when they got in an accident. You know, and you got behind some of these vehicles, and they were, you know.
With their dog walking, the butts over to the right, and the heads over to the left.
But with the technology that they've got, that the body shop's got, and the equipment that they've got, it's precision. It's right on, you know.
We're talking about the thickness of a piece of paper times three.
Right.
I mean, we're really talking thousands of an inch tolerances.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to cut any corners because he said it was a 14. And to put a frame underneath that's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And obviously, if the frame costs more than the truck's worth, then they're looking at salvage value. That's fair.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have any problem. The truck's 6 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure that it isn't going to be done right if everything is all bent up.
Yeah.
And if Geico's standing in the middle, they'll know that, and then they'll unwind the whole deal. They'll trash the truck and settle with him, and he's their client. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They, I believe the four I gave you will not take advantage of the client under those circumstances.
Right, and I believe nobody wants to deal with the aftermath of that anyway. I mean, you know, they want it to be right because because the client's going to keep calling them. It's going to be, you know, it could turn into a big problem.
And sometimes the adjuster will say, I've been dealing with this body shop for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
On a scale of 1 to 10 in difficulty, this is a 6.
Yeah.
Okay? They fixed this before. And I'll tell you something. When I'm done, when you're done, when they're done with it, I'm going to go drive it. And I'm going to have somebody behind me, and I'm going to drive it and make sure I can turn all the way left and all the way right, and the circles are the same size.
Yeah.
And all the stuff I need. I'm going to make sure the headlights are aimed and all that stuff. And I'm smart enough to know if it's not right, I'll take it back for you.
Right.
Meanwhile, you stay in my rental. I'm not doing advertisements for those people.
Yeah.
But I've got one right now, and this is what the conversation is like. Hey, I understand you're a mechanical expert, and you do tires too. I do. I need you to, you know, I need you to look at this, and I really need somebody to say da 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 da, and my client's not wrong, or not right.
Yeah,
or is right. My client is right.
Yeah.
And so give me the information, and I go, I can't help you.
Yeah.
I can't help you. You're telling me that your client's wrong, but you're telling me you want to say your client's right. And you should know that. But anyway, I've got a lot of cases, and my wife won't let me take any more. So I'm sorry. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And so that's how it works. Okay, I think we've got everybody covered unless Gil has another one. All righty. Well, we got automatic transmission exchange. And Phil, I've often said that him and Barney Rubble and – or no, it's is it Barney Rubble and Fred Flintstone?
Yep.
They were friends.
Yep.
Because Phil's been around since automatic transmissions first came out. He's been around, and Automatic Transmission Exchange has been around Phoenix since 1968. 40th Street in Washington, north side of the road. If you go up and down Washington, I promise you, you've seen this place. Maybe it didn't strike you as a transmission place, although there's a transmission on the sign, literally a complete transmission. But Phil's been around, and if you have a transmission problem, he's happy to drive it and talk to you about it. He's not going to fix it for free, and he's not going to spend an hour with you for free. But he's certainly capable of driving it. Him and his staff are capable of driving it and checking it out and giving you a pretty good idea of what it is that you need to do. So we've done everything we're supposed to do.
Well, 2 hours flew by pretty quick, didn't it, Mark?
Yeah, it did. How's your wife liking you today? Don't give me hand signs like I should zip my mouth, okay?
She wasn't awake when I left the house. Let's put it that way. So I don't know.
Okay. You can't open a door that wide in front of me. So that means that the brouhaha last night, she hasn't recovered from that yet?
Yes.
Yes?
I'm going to say yes.
And you just took a heat off my back right there. Anyway, I think car repair is really a matter of a process. We have to talk to the customer. We have to have an intelligent conversation with them, and we have to be smart enough to ask them questions that are important. Does the vibration happen hot or cold? At what speed? When is it there? When is it there? Your air conditioning only works intermittently. Where are the controls at? You can't have a three-whiskered kid on the counter, who has three whiskers, obviously, and you expect him to be able to ask you those questions. You're looking for a gray-haired guy, or you're looking for a guy that has gray hair coming out of the neck of his T-shirt. That's what you need, or gray hair in his face. And it's okay if you ask, if you're uncomfortable with the front counter, it's okay if you say, I can demonstrate this problem, and it's not Monday morning or Friday afternoon for obvious reasons. If I promise not to keep anybody out there for longer than 5 minutes, I can show somebody what's going on. Is that okay? Do you know any shops that wouldn't bite on that hook?
Makes it so much easier. And, you know, and some people think that the more information they give you, the more it costs. It's actually the opposite. The more information that we get, the less time we spend diagnosing it, the less we charge you.
And it's a matter of Q&A.
Yeah, right, okay? Absolutely.
We talked before about the starter clicking, right? And the starter clicking, and it would click, and then it wouldn't click, and then it yes, and then I replaced it, and all that kind of stuff. That is so much better if we talk. But I'll tell you what he did say that I was kind of impressed by, and I have an FAQ 28 at my website, marksalem.com. FAQ 28 tells you how to use the headlights to diagnose a starter, solenoid, or battery connection. Think about this. If you hit the key and the headlights don't change intensity at all, we're not even triggering the starter.
Right.
Neutral safety switch or something like that.
Right.
We hit the key and it just barely dims, then the solenoid's getting power, but it ain't sending to the starter. The voltage goes from 13 to 10, or 13 to 12. However, if you hit the key and it goes down below 9.6 and it goes, and that's all, then it's a battery or something like that.
Right.
So with that kind of conversation, it's kind of like, let's ask a question or not. It doesn't do any good, with all due respect, it doesn't do any good for someone to say, I had a problem with it starting, and I've replaced the starter and the solenoid. And I'm using this as an example. That's
right.
Not the conversation we had with the gentleman. We'd like to ask questions.
What
was it doing? When did it do it? Hot or cold? Left or right? Wednesdays or Thursdays? That kind of stuff. So, listen, thank you very much for spending your Saturday with me. I'm talking to Dave Martin from 16th Street South of Indian School, Martin's Auto, second generation. Good guy, knows what he's doing, and I know his dad, so if there's a problem, you call me and I'll talk to his dad. What's your dad's name?
Dennis.
Dennis, I knew you'd know that. So, Dennis Martin is the guy that runs the shop, and Dave here is his son. So if you have a problem, then Dennis is the one you want to ask for, but actually, Dave's better off to take care of it. See you next week right here.